Good afternoon. The time is 2 o'clock. Welcome to Vox Pop for this Wednesday, May 20th. May 20th already, if you can believe it. I'm Sarah LaDuke in for Ray Graff. He's scheduled to return tomorrow. I know you're all missing him. He will be back. It's Pets and Vets today, and joining us are Drs. Susan Sekuli of Just Cats Veterinary Clinic in Gelderland and Mechanicville, and Dr. Carrie O'Loughlin. If you have a question about your dog or cat, give us a call at 1-800-348-2551. 800-348-2551, or you can email the show at voxpop@wamc.org. But that number again, and this is a popular program, everybody wants free diagnosis for their pets, itches and ailments, 800-348-2551. Dr. Sekuli and O'Loughlin and your pet questions coming up on Vox Pop after the news. Good afternoon. Hello. Welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Sarah LaDuke, in for Ray Graff for a couple of days this week. The phone number to call Vox Pop with your pet questions is 800-348-2551. And here to take your calls are Dr. Susan Sekuli of Just Cats Veterinary Clinic in Gelderland and Mechanicville, and retired vet, previously the vet to my very own dog, Carrie O'Loughlin. Dr. Sekuli is a vet who specializes in feline care. She focuses on the entire cat's health, addressing behavior and nutrition while providing medical and surgical care. And now retired, Dr. Carrie has practiced for years at Del Mar Animal Hospital as a graduate of Cornell University. Again, the number to call, 800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551. And you can also email us, voxpop@wamc.org. Good afternoon, my animal friends.
Hello, hello.
Animal keeper Hi. Friends. You're not animals. Well, aren't we all?
Hi, Sarah.
Nice to see you.
Yes.
We're deep into spring.
Yes.
It's been very hot. What animal items should we be concerned about, paying attention to? Do you want to tell the people?
So, not necessarily a pet issue, but it is baby animal season, kittens, of course, but also wildlife. And we get a lot of calls every year and people bringing us baby bunnies and baby birds. Most of these animals should be left where they were. Bunnies are pretty much ignored by their mother for most of the day. So if you find a nest of bunnies, they have not been abandoned. Leave them alone. They do not do well away from mom. They're much better off having mom take care of them, unless they're obviously been injured somehow, you know, lawnmower or cat or something like that.
Which they are. The parent bunny really does secret them away a lot of the time. They're, you know, they can be very well hidden in a little cluster of cuteness.
Right. And they don't, they basically leave them alone most of the day. So, and then the same thing for fawns. Baby deer are also left alone most of the day. So if they're not vocalizing, if they're not, you know, actively looking distressed, leave them alone. And then birds, if they are featherless, they may have just fallen out of the nest. If you can look up and see a nest, you can stick them back in the nest. It does not hurt to touch them. It's the wives' tale of, you know,
Once it smells like a person.
No, yep. Mama will take care of them very happily. If they have feathers and they're on the ground, they could be a fledgling. A lot of fledglings hop out of the nest and they don't still quite know how to fly. Mom and dad will take care of them on the ground. So again, if they're not in acute danger, leave them where they are. And lastly, I do want to mention it's turtle season. So the turtles are crossing the road on their way to nest. So if you see a turtle in the road, it's very nice if you can stop safely.
Right.
Don't get hit by a car. And move them in the direction they're going. If they're a snapping turtle, people don't want to touch snapping turtles. They can be moved pretty easily. They, just like you can't lick your elbow, snapping turtles cannot reach you if you pick them up back by their tail. Not by their tail, because you will hurt their spinal cord, but in between their back
don't
legs.
Don't grab, like you're supposed to grab like a gerbil by the base of its tail.
Exactly.
Don't do that to
the
snapping turtle.
Right. You can paralyze them. But if you don't want to touch them, the other options are, if you still have a snow shovel in your car, that works pretty well. Or you can put a car mat under them and drag them across the road. If they are injured, if you see a turtle that has a broken shell and it's alive, a lot of people are tempted to leave them alone. They should get to a vet so they can be gotten to a rehabilitator, because a broken shell is a broken bone and it is very painful, and they need pain medication and they need treatment. So, and again, with any wild animal, don't try and take care of them yourselves. Don't try and feed them. Just get them to a rehabilitator. They have the training and they know what to do.
How do you find a rehabilitator?
Ah, good question, Dr. Sikuli. Usually you can call your local vet. A lot of vets have a rehabilitator that they work with regularly that's in the area. They're also in this area. There's a group called North Country Wild Care, and they have a hotline. So you can Google that, and they
will get North Country Wild Care.
North Country Wild Care, yep. And also to remember, if you do give an animal to a rehabilitator, if you could be nice and maybe give them a little donation, because rehabilitators do not get paid. They are spending their own money to take care of these critters. So anything you can do to help them would be fantastic.
How long is turtle season?
Oh, gosh, probably the next month to 6 weeks for the height of it.
So like most of spring and a little bit into summer.
Yeah. And all then right. again in the fall, then they're right, going they back the go other back. Direction looking for a place to winter.
We shouldn't have built roads in their way. 800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551. You ready to take a call?
Sure.
Well, I was going to put in my
do it.
My cat
Sorry,
advice.
Susan.
That's okay.
Yes.
But we have the other challenge. Cats
Could you
don't
raise
always,
your mic oops, toward your mouth a little?
Cats don't always like the air conditioner.
Ah.
So as much as we like the cool weather, make sure if they're older cats specifically, they have a warm space to keep warm. I think I find that people forget about that in the wintertime. They got the heaters to go on, et cetera. But cats are heat seekers for the most part.
They're like, I know they're mammals, but they're like a little bit reptile.
Right? That's right. <yeah. laughs>
In a way, in their alien way. Oh, gosh, I love them. 800-348-2551. Now, before we go to the phones, I want to remember something that I wanted to bring up, which is it was so hot the last few days.
It was.
What do pet owners need to be concerned about when the heat spikes like that?
Well, not leaving your animal outside too long without a good amount of shelter and water. Mm-hmm. The other thing to be concerned about are hot pavements. Mm-hmm. Dogs can burn their little feeties. So if you wouldn't want to walk on the pavement with your bare feet, your dog probably doesn't want to walk on it. So.
And likewise, the cats probably didn't mind it out there. It's true.
They were down. They're like, oh, the whole of the capital region is a heat rock?
That's right.
Rad.
Yeah. I had a black dog from that was born in the South. And I swear, even though he lived his whole life in New York, he would lie out in the sun until, like, you would burn your hand touching him.
I see cats do that all the time.
Love the heat.
Crazy.
But not every dog is like that.
Not every dog is like that.
Yes. And some light colored dogs can get sunburned. So, and cats can get sunburned.
How do you treat it?
They're smarter, though. They go to the shade, to be honest. So I don't see that as much in the
But
cats,
some animals, but it's usually their nose.
Yeah. So then you can put sunscreen.
Yeah. You can put a little sunscreen on their noses.
Others,
Especially the pink nosed animals.
Right. Yeah. All good to know. 800-348-2551. And now, after teasing you callers a number of times, and for that I apologize, we are going to go to the phones. We'll begin with Sue in Albany. Hello, Sue.
Hi, are you able to hear me?
I am indeed.
Good. So, I have a question about wet cat food for cats. I have a daughter in the Washington, D.C. area who has an older cat, and her husband isn't a fan of cats. And didn't want to give the cat any wet cat food because he complains that it makes her stool too smelly. And I, after visiting for years, the cat is clearly losing weight. When I go to visit, I always sneak and buy wet cat food for the cat.
What a good grandma.
Oh, yes. And believe me, I get in big trouble for it because they find the cans because everything's recyclable. But in any event... my daughter said to me, well, Mom, when we had a cat, you know, you always fed them ions and there wasn't a problem. I'm like, Rose, our cats were never like stick thin, like Karen is. I said, so this is what she likes. This is, she should be eating this. And on top of it, she doesn't have front claws. So for a long time, they never let her outside. Then I convinced them they should, just to get in the backyard. I'm hoping maybe she can, you know, get a little moisture. I mean, she gives her plenty of water, don't get me wrong. But I'm wondering if you can give me your advice on whether wet cat food is good for a cat who loves it, number one. And number two, whether you can send me to a reliable website to help convince her that her husband should not rule the day on this.
Ooh, oh, you're boy. Asking them to get really involved in some family matters.
Yeah, right. No, I think every cat would benefit from some canned food. And it's funny because years ago we used to go, okay, all dry food, a little bit of canned. I still remember in vet school, many years
mixing
ago.
Mixing them together.
Yeah, either mixing together or them saying, no, dry's plenty. That's okay. And that has come full circle, and we absolutely recommend canned food consistently. It increases their moisture content. It is better balanced. It's less processed. All of those things. I don't know what website per se. Look to some of the colleges, vet schools. I'm thinking they would have. They'll have some good nutritional recommendations from there that have it. But and as far as if it causes more softer stools, just keep trying different canned foods. I think it might need to be a little bit more of a gradual introduction. So if all of a sudden they're on Just Dry and you give them a lot of canned, then it may soften their stool. But to be honest, if the cat's older, I want it to soften that stool because they lean toward constipation as they get older. So I think it's really helpful. And I think you're doing a good job advocating for them.
I know, right?
So
yeah, I have five grandchildren, three granddoggies, and one grandcat.
So, that's great.
I'm doing my job. Thank you so much, Doctor. I will look up Cornell. I think very highly of Cornell, and I think the world of people who become that. So thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, I was just going to say, you know, the fact that she's an older kitty and skinny and having smelly stools, too, is, you know, have they had her checked for the... all the older kitty cat diseases that can cause
hyperthyroidism,
like
exactly,
etc.
Yeah, I'll mention that as well. I'll get myself in more trouble, but it's worth it.
Thanks for listening and for your call, Sue. Have a wonderful afternoon.
Thank you.
800-348-2551. Dr. Susan Sekulli and Dr. Carrie O'Loughlin are here to take your pets and vets. Well, no, your pet questions. They're the vets. It is time for our first underwriting break, and we will return after this. Welcome back to Vox Pop. It's Pets and Vets on this Wednesday afternoon. I'm Sarah LaDuke in for Ray Graff. I want to take just a moment now to remind you that the lockbox is open. The full WAMC fund drive begins on Monday, June 1st. But right now we are trying to boost that total by dribs and drabs through your very, very generous pledges. And you can donate to the station anytime online at WAMC.org. I am in studio this afternoon with Dr. Susan Sekulli and Dr. Carrie O'Loughlin. And let us do an email. You can email us. Voxpop@WAMC.org. Again, the phone number to call, 800-348-2551, 800-348-2551. This email is from Janet, who says, "Hi, my vet heard a heart murmur in my 4-year-old female kitty, pro-BNP over 1,000. So, echocardiogram was done, which was normal. Could stress elevate the BNP number? Do we know what BNP stands for? Tell us."
But it is.
It says pro-BNP.
Yeah,
it is. Cardio pro-BNP. It's a specific test that IDEX, one of our laboratories, runs. And it is elevated in times when the heart muscles, particularly during typically more abnormal production. Versus just stress.
Okay.
So we have plenty of cats that come in during stress that have it elevated that are not elevated. So I think it's something that it's alerting. It's great they've checked that out and had the echo. It may mean that they're still going to want to monitor this cat on a yearly basis, but I've had some where it's been happening and it's okay.
Yeah.
So I think they got a clean bill of health, which is wonderful in a cat. I think the research and the technology is now getting better and better, especially for cats. We were way behind in the abilities to treat. There are specific new drugs that are out there now that it was all just use what they used on the dog and hope it worked on the cat.
Oh,
and
you mean like do what you do for men's health and hope just try it out on women?
Yeah.
Not to put too fine a point on it.
and unfortunately, in cats, their heart disease is a lot different than dog heart disease most of the time.
Yep.
So exactly. Dogs tend to get leaky valves. Cats get thickened heart muscle. So it's a totally different.
And that's because they're reptiles?
Yeah.
I'm joking. They're mammals. I remember. 800-348-2551. 1-800-348-2551. Or you can email us, foxpop@wamc.org. And we will go now to Kenny in Wilton. Hello, Kenny.
Hold on. Yeah, hi. How are you?
I'm okay. How are you?
Good. Thank you very much. Yeah, so the question I have is, what can we do to instigate our dog to drink more water? We have a beast poo. She's about 5 and a half, four and a half, 5 and a half. And we lost, and she's about 17 pounds. She's not gaining weight. She's not losing weight. But she really struggles. She'll come in panting. And most dogs, you know, they'll slobber over the water bowl. Not this dog. So have her 2 little sips and walk away. She barely drinks any water, and it's a concern. What do we do?
So, honestly, I'm usually not concerned with dogs not drinking because they, unlike cats, have a very good thirst drive. So if they're thirsty, they're going to drink. Is she getting moisture in her food? Does she get any wet food or anything?
Yeah, you know, we feed her farmer's dog stuff, and now what we've done to mitigate her drinking. So in the afternoon now, she likes turkey broth, so we'll give her, I'll heat up some, 27 seconds in the microwave, heat the water, give her some turkey, and then she has this broth, and she'll drink it all and eat the little bit of turkey pieces we put in there.
Perfect.
So, you know, that's what we're doing to mitigate her drinking more water, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, and that's fine, but I honestly would not stress about her not drinking. If she's on a moisture food like the farmer's dog, she may be getting almost all of her water needs just from her diet.
Mm-hmm.
So I really wouldn't worry about it, especially a smaller dog. You know, if she were a 100-pound dog, they're going to have to drink some water. But the little dogs, a lot of it comes right from the diet. So I would not be concerned.
I appreciate your thank you for lowering my anxiety over this subject. Thank you so much.
And maybe this time of the year you can make ice cubes of broth and give them that. They love ice cubes.
She doesn't like ice cubes like
okay,
the other
no.
ones. But thank you very much.
Sometimes they do, sometimes they don't. Thank you for your call.
That's cute.
800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551, or email voxpop@wamc.org. I saw another email over here. 2 questions from Cheryl. First, I'd like to know if you could discuss, here we go, hydrolyzed protein food for cats. Is that a thing? Does that make sense? Okay, great.
Yes.
My cat has a problem with chicken, and yet I noticed the HP foods are made with chicken? Secondly, could you give suggestions as to the typical protocols for cats with acute pancreatitis and very high levels? I told you, they want free diagnosis, so specific. Very high levels of FPL2. Are antibiotics of any benefit? Thank you so much. I can reread that since I interrupted myself if you need me to.
No, that's fine. Yeah. Hydrolyzed proteins for cats. The food companies have determined that if they make the chicken, usually they'll use, but they also are using soy, make it small enough particles that they tend to be less antigenically sensitive, the cats do. So that's what we see, I believe, in these hydrolyzed foods. Personally, I think a lot of cats it works well. And I see good success with it. It is better than trying them on turkey diet and the typical foods, because you're getting something that is specifically designed as a hypoallergenic diet. I find them sometimes being a little less palatable than others, so I think it depends on that. And the other question?
The other question was?
Pancreatitis.
Oh, pancreatitis. Yes. Oh, Lordy.
Typical protocols for cats with acute pancreatitis and very high levels of FPL2. What's FPL2?
FPL2 is specifically a pancreatic enzyme that indicates the pancreas is not happy.
Okay.
And so
are antibiotics any benefit?
I have to tell you, yeah. In dogs, we know there's a direct link a lot of times between pancreatitis and diets and particular things. In cats, all cats get inflamed. So we think there's an inflammatory type response.
You think it's because they're too hot?
Inflammation. No. so that it's more related to, I don't know, anything from diet per se, meaning it's a allergy or specific thing, to an inflammatory response from the gallbladder and the whole area associated with their digestive system. So we can give them a diagnosis of pancreatitis, but it's not as specific as in dogs where they get pancreatitis and you treat them for just that. In cats, you have to take it as a big modality and address, okay, wait, they're really just, you know, we use the typicals, anti-vomiting medication, supportive care, fluids, and then we decide, do you want antibiotics? Do you need steroids? Do you add the diet changes? So It's a long-winded question, but it's complicated.
It's very dependent.
It's not simple in cats. They often call it triad disease because it's often the pancreas, the liver, and the intestines.
And the gallbladder.
All unhappy related at the same time.
Yep.
So,
you know, it'd be interesting to hear what they've done for their treatment and how that works. And once a cat has episodes, it will most likely be prone to them again. So dietary changes are important. That said, I still love rabbit diets and some of the more natural novel proteins more than the hydrolyzed.
Rabbit.
They
diets.
Make rabbit food.
For cats.
For cats.
Yes.
Made from rabbit.
Yeah.
Okay. They would eat it out in the wild.
Sure.
I think.
Yeah. So, kitty cats love them.
I was just imagining a cat eating a salad and couldn't quite imagine it at all.
I have to put in when you talked about the little baby rabbits from way back in my childhood, we had a beagle. What do beagles find most? Yeah. Rabbit nests.
Yeah.
Every time we'd bring them and we'd try to find where he got them from.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, pancreatitis is tough in cats. I had two of my own cats that had pancreatitis, and thankfully they responded very. One of the drugs we use is a drug called Serenia. It's anti-nausea. It also has anti-inflammatory effects and pain relief. And thankfully for them, they would have a little flare-up. I'd give them a Serenia tablet for a couple of days, and they'd be good to go. So sometimes it's simple to treat, and sometimes it's very complicated.
Yeah.
We're using Zofram, ondansetron, a lot now, more so. We used to do just Serenia, now we're using a combination, and that sometimes helps a lot.
So. The phone number to call Dr. Susan Sekouli and Carrie O'Loughlin with your animal questions is 800-348-2551. What is going on with your pets at home? What would you like to know about? Are you thinking about getting a puppy? And you have questions about that? We could answer them. All of us could talk about how much you should get a puppy. 800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551, or voxpop at wamc.org if you prefer to email. Let us go now to Robert in Hobart. Hello, Robert.
Good afternoon.
Hello.
Hello.
I'd like to know if my 13-year-old male cat would be helped to live a lot longer if he ate fresh beef liver and such sort of thing, or just continue what I've been feeding, which is mainly canned food.
We We need Dr. Chris Dallas on here talking about that one. She's our holistic vet.
Our holistic vet. Not available
right.
today.
Yes. However, I think organ meat in its entity, I think, is helpful. I think I would just know the source. Consider lightly cooking versus raw, because you don't know where that's coming from and what parasites might be in that. And whether the cat will eat it. Have you tried that with your cat?
No, I've never tried it yet, no. I've just been feeding him one brand of canned food. Can I mention a brand name? Is that?
Yeah, it's no, okay. I'll let you. Ray doesn't, but I don't know why.
Yeah, I think you're great feeding the canned food. I think that's the most important part, and a well-balanced, reputable company canned food is great for cats.
Yeah, I was just going to mention, okay, as long as the cat's getting cat food and not just the beef liver, because beef liver by itself is not going to be a balanced diet, but certainly as an additive, it's not a bad thing.
Yeah.
All right, Robert.
Thank you very much.
Thank
You're
you
welcome.
For listening
Thank
and for your call. Have a great afternoon. 800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551. Dan wrote in with a trick for getting dogs to drink water that we will share. It says, take chicken jerky and put it in your coffee grinder. All right, first of all, no. Chicken coffee? Come on now. No, I understand. Sprinkle that in the water. It's a trick I use daily on hot weather hikes, and that does make a lot of sense. Mm. Doritos, my dog also resists. We sometimes carry a water bottle with us on a hike or even just a hot walk during the summer in the neighborhood, and he is not interested while we're walking, and then does down the whole bowl when you get home. But
yeah.
That is a good trick, Dan. I wonder if he has this if he uses his actual coffee grinder, or if he has a chicken jerky grinder
just for that,
or maybe cleans it very well. We have a question, also another email question from Vincent, who says, I feed both my cat and dog very high quality salmon based grain free dry food. They're both adults and are doing great. Is there any need to modify?
For the dog, they are not recommending grain-free diets unless they have an absolute need to be on it because of severe allergies, because some of the grain-free diets have been shown to cause a pretty nasty form of heart disease or heart failure in dogs. So they are really not recommending grain-free.
Similar in cats. They can be taurine deficient. Absolutely.
Yep.
So, yes, there is some concerns, and it is very well marketed.
Yes.
It's grain-free.
The whole grain-free thing was a total marketing ploy. There's nothing medical about grain-free diets. There are just some animals with severe food allergies that you have to be careful of. Certain grains.
Agreed.
So.
800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551. I'm checking the time, checking the phones. Okay, we'll go to Heidi in Stillwater. Hello, Heidi.
Hi.
Hello.
I have a quick question. Hopefully it's a quick question. I have a 12-year-old Beagle Husky mix who recently started bleeding. And we had some tests run on her, and they've come back positive that she potentially has cancer in her urinary tract. Not a tumor, but just in the urinary tract itself. And in talking to other people, I talked with someone who had a cat who had a similar issue, and they said that they were actually able to remove the urinary tract and replace it with a rubber tube. Is that something that we should pursue?
I have not heard of that. There are some medications that can help with certain types of cancers in the urinary tract for dogs.
Okay.
There are some, anti-inflammatories that actually have a shrinking effect on tumors I've used in the past.
Yes. Yep, they actually did. We have been having her take that, and we are seeing some decreased bleeding. They also have her on the Chinese herb, the Yunnan Bio.
Mm-hmm. Yep, that's to help decrease bleeding.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it sounds like you're doing what you could do. I mean, any kind of rebuilding of the urinary tract, boy, oof, that's That's not something I believe anybody around here would do. I think you'd have to go to a veterinary college.
Yep.
And boy, now I'm far enough out from school, they were just starting to do some kidney transplants, but replacing whole urinary tracts, not that I know of.
Okay. Yeah, and that's pretty much what our vet said, and I trust them very much so. But then, of course, you talk to people, and they're like, oh, no, I had this, and we did that. And
yeah.
So I appreciate your confirming what my own vet said.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good luck with that. That's got to be a tough one.
It is a tough one, yeah. She's a good girl.
Yeah.
Thank you for listening and for your call, Heidi. Have a good afternoon.
Thank you.
1-800-348-2551. 1-800-348-2551. Or you can email us, voxpop@wamc.org. Right now, in the race between emails and phone calls, the emails are winning. We will have some more email questions after a break. But I wanted to let you know that if you weren't calling because you were concerned that the lines were all full, you needn't be concerned about that at this time. 800-348-2551. You're going to get in. Give us a call. 1-800-348-2551. And we'll be back with Drs. Susan Sekouli and Carrie O'Loughlin after this break. Welcome back to Vox Pop. I'm Sarah LaDuke in for Ray Graff this afternoon here with Drs. Susan Sekouli and Dr. Carrie O'Loughlin. We're here for your pet questions. If you're listening and you care about programs like this one, you can support the station anytime at wamc.org. The phone number to call with your pet questions this afternoon is 800-348-2551. And the email address is voxpop@wamc.org. We have an email from Sally who says, my 4-year-old cat won't eat wet food. I have tried several brands, including Hill's Biome, but no luck. Any suggestions? 4-year-old cat won't eat wet food.
Yeah, there are some cats that are
tough. Can you pay them to do it? Are they interested in money or shiny objects?
I think sometimes it depends on when they first got introduced to it. Like if he's 4 years old and they're just introducing wet food for the first time, sometimes if they've only had dry food their whole life. I had my cats on dry food for years because, again, as Dr. Sekouli said, back in the day, they always said dry food is what you should feed them. Right. And then when I tried to give them wet food, some of my cats thought it was great, and a couple were like, yeah, nope, thanks. Mm-mm. And so, I mean, you can put the canned food out first when they're really hungry.
That's what I suggest. Yep.
You can also try topping it with a few things, a couple of crumbles of bacon sometimes. You know, cats all like bacon, and you can tempt them with that. But yeah, some cats are tough. I had a couple of my cats, it didn't matter what I did. I had a cat in kidney failure that I really wanted to get him to eat canned food, and he just refused.
Yeah.
So
I think it depends on the physical medical condition of the cat. If you're trying to get them to get on it for kidneys or something and they're not a good weight to begin with, then I would probably not hold out. But if you're trying to do it for a regular, normal, healthy cat, I think you can do it. It may take a month, like literally a month. And what you do is you just offer that canned food in the morning. That's all they get. No dry all day long. And they get a quarter of a cup of dry at night. So they start recognizing that by the end of the day, they might be a little hungry. And you only put out a little amount, like a mouth size, mouse sized, right? A teaspoon. That's it. Not a lot. And if they don't eat that.
Did you say mouse?
Mouse sized. Yes.
Scoop. Not a mouse mouth, but a cat's mouth the size of a mouse.
Yeah. And so a
Are
teaspoon.
We writing a new tongue twister?
That's it, I think. And that's what they get. And don't try 20 varieties of canned food because they're strong-willed and they'll hold you to it. And so you can eventually get them. It's not easy, and I you know, I have many clients that finally come in because they've come in with a cat that's 17 pounds and probably she'd be closer to 14 pounds, you know, that kind of thing. And you really have to get them on that canned food to really get them to lose the weight. So don't give up. Keep trying. But don't give in. Don't give them dry in the morning.
800-348-2551. This is from Louise in the old inbox. Foxpop at WAMC.org says, my cat is plagued with itchy ears since December, and we're on our third different ear drop, and it's not helping. She scratches and shakes her head and has rubbed the fur off the backs of her ears, and they're no longer pink inside, but white. We're in the same place we've been for a year and a half. It's not a new environment. She loves avocado, and we both have a little of it each morning. It wouldn't be the avocado, would it? I'm sorry that I stumbled through that so much.
That's funny. Probably not the avocado, but it could be a food allergy. Those ones that, the same with dogs, right? If you keep getting these reoccurring ear issues, look to food, and food allergies are common.
Yes. Yeah. So sometimes it is a matter of taking away everything they've been putting in their mouth. And
elimination diet.
And, yep. Yes.
What a bummer.
Yeah.
Right. So hard.
Same with us, right?
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. And that's where I jump in for the rabbit, you know, I have to say, because it's not a food that they would normally have been exposed to. So put them on a 4-week, 6-week
yeah. And
rabbit
there are
only.
Should you try just skipping
available.
The avocado first? In case it is. Well, you really don't think it is. They really don't think it is, Louise. They're looking at me like, don't emphasize that it could be the avocado. It's not. I didn't know cats would eat avocado.
Yeah, I'm surprised.
I like that. That's cute. So yes, it could be a food allergy and she should look into that.
Yes.
800-348-2551. 1-800-348-2551. Let's go to Paul in Albany. Hello, Paul.
Hi, I'm just calling because you said you needed callers.
Well, thank you.
Do you have a pet?
I am a dance caller, but yes, I also have a rat terrier. And we have kind of an unusual situation that just developed maybe since she had a bunch of teeth removed. I can't remember when this developed. She trembles. We thought it was the cold weather, but we keep our heat kind of low in the winter. But she continues to tremble, especially almost every time she eats. Hmm. She's just constantly shaking. She's only 7 pounds. Hmm. She's 13 and a half years old. It just is something new. See, I can't remember. She also does a little bit of whining since her dental surgery, which was February.
Gotcha.
I'm sorry, I can't remember whether the trembling started.
Yeah, so.
Or I think it started before the surgery, though.
Yeah, so in an older dog like that, some dogs do develop sort of tremors as they mm-hmm. age. And even the neurologists will say we don't really know what causes it. There's no treatment for it. It's just they sort of get sort of like this Parkinson's almost tremor kind of thing. However, it wouldn't hurt to ask your vet for maybe a short course of some pain relief just to see if there is pain involved. It doesn't necessarily have to be from her dental. I mean, she's 13 and a half. And just make sure there's
right.
no pain involved. But if you try for okay. treating for pain and the tremors persist, then it's just old dog shakies.
Okay. And when I'm talking, it's like a constant tremor for like a minute or two. It's
yep.
Not,
mm-hmm. Yep. Some dogs will do yeah. it for sort of constant, even, but,
oh boy.
But sometimes it is intermittent.
Okay. So that's something we didn't know. So I appreciate your help. I hope you get some more quality.
We're going to be fine, and you've done your part, so you can leave with a clear conscience either way. Thank you so much.
Sure. Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
1-800-348-2551. We'll roll into another call and go to Drew in Albany. Hello, Drew.
Hi, how are you?
Reasonably well. How are you?
Good, good. So I was wondering, I have a reptile question. I'm hoping that the vets will be able to help.
They look wary, but they're ready.
Okay. I have a 9-month-old Argentinian black and white tegu, just kind of a larger semi-aquatic reptile, lizard. And I ran into an issue the first week I had her where she shed her tail. She was afraid. I was trying to do a feeding, and she got spooked, and she shed her tail. And the regrowth has started. I've looked online a little bit, and I've seen kind of conflicting answers about how you need to clean it, and you need to be wary, and you need to possibly get them an antibacterial. And I've also seen a bunch of stuff online that says you absolutely do not have to. They do it naturally. It is a self-defense mechanism, and it just means they were under a lot of stress. You don't need to worry about the regrowth. So the regrowth of her tail has started. It's very short, and it's very fleshy. And I'm concerned about her getting some sort of an infection or getting something in it. Her substrate, her bedding is got a lot of wood chips and things of that nature.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just wondering what you guys would suggest.
How often are you changing the bedding?
I've changed it once. They like to dig, so it's about 8 inches deep, and it gets constant moisture. Like I said, they're semi-aquatic, so she has a sprayer and everything. So I have changed it once since we got her, but usually they recommend only doing it every like 6 months or so.
Yeah, I don't want to say anything wrong because I've honestly never dealt with them. I had a newt once who lost a leg and grew it back. But
a leg? I didn't know they could do
legs.
Yeah,
I didn't have to do anything. My answer would be to contact a vet in the area that does exotics. There are a few in the area. If you're not sure, you can call around. But yeah, I would get someone who knows about exotics because I'd hate to give you the wrong advice.
I would agree.
Okay. What is your pet's name? What did you name your pet?
Integra.
Integra.
Well, Integra the Tegu.
Good luck to you and Integra, and we're sorry we couldn't help you more.
No, it's okay. Thank you, guys.
Sure.
Have a great day.
Thanks for listening. 800-348-2551. Let's go to Terry in Pittsfield. Hello, Terry. Sorry, Plainfield.
Hi.
Plainfield, I misread.
Plainfield, yeah. And it's Perry, but that's close. So I have a cat behavioral question. So I've had cats my whole life, so I feel like I know cats pretty well. But I adopted these two cats about a year and a half ago, and they were brought to the shelter. They had been found in a cemetery, together. And so the shelter wanted them adopted together because they said they were bonded. And that was fine with me. But when I went to pick them up, the vet tech that was there said, well, they were really sweet and loving to each other, but just recently the male has started attacking the female and we had to separate them. And I'm sure it's just because they were in like this small cage and once they get to your house, everything will be fine. And so I took them home, and the first 2 weeks, they were wonderful. They slept together. They cleaned each other. They were very loving to each other. And then it just kind of stopped. They kind of decided they didn't want to be near each other. They fight often. It just makes me really sad because they were so sweet together, and I don't know what happened or what I can do about it, if anything. I did try the stuff that you plug into the outlet that's supposed to have pheromones or something.
Right.
And I think that may have helped a tiny bit, but barely.
Do they know about how old? Did they estimate their age?
Well, yeah, when I asked that when I adopted them, and they said, well, they don't really know, but the vet thinks The female is two and the male is one. Mm-hmm. So that would, now they're a year and a half older.
Mm-hmm. Hmm. That's an interesting.
How do you get
dynamics?
Cats to stop fighting?
Well, I guess do they like to play?
Well, they each play separately, yes. And I sometimes think that the male is half of the time that he's, you know, jumping on the female and being mean to her. I feel like half of that the time he just wants to play, mm-hmm. but she's having none of it.
Right.
They've both, of course, been spayed and everything. So, it's not any of that stuff.
I find sometimes if, like something like a fishing pole toy or something, you can get them, or a laser light,
mm-hmm.
sort of get them playing together.
Together, yeah.
With something else to attack and not each other. That sometimes
right.
it sort of gets them used to being around each other in a playful situation.
Yeah, they did find a mouse in the house, and they sort of teamed up against the mouse. So that was good to see.
That's great. Yeah, no, I agree. I think there is some help with distracting them with play, even either together or separately, so that it becomes a habit of theirs, so that they're not initiating mm-hmm. that play against each other. Are you feeding them close, near each other? Do they get
they eat together fine. I mean, they have their bowls are right next to each other, and they don't seem to have a problem with that.
Yeah. I don't know.
It may also be if he's just coming up on two.
That's what I'm wondering.
It's
age.
Kind of like that social maturity where he's suddenly deciding, I want to be the boss kitty.
Right. And as much as it sounds bad, you're probably not helping by interfering when they're having their play, as long as they're not hurting each other. Because I think we can sometimes give them mixed signals. You know, what they think is play, you think is fighting. Right? And there's a little bit of a challenge.
Right, yeah.
They could be rearranging the pecking order, and they're going to sort it out themselves.
Yes.
Possibly.
Yes, possibly, yep. And then I would, every time you can get them to be good with each other, is give them that positive reward too, right? Like pay attention to them more during those times.
Yeah. Well, the female, like when he starts acting like he's fighting with her, she screams like this blood curdling scream. It's awful. Mm. So at that point, I usually do interfere and, say, stop it. Because it sounds so terrible. I mean, I think she's a kind of a drama queen, but
who amongst us?
Do you think it could have been like after this happened, after they were here for 2 weeks? Do you think it could have been like a jealousy thing? Because I sort of feel like there was almost a time that I can remember that the female, like. I was on my bed and the female jumped up on the bed to be with me, or to be on the bed, and I was on there too. And the male came into the room, and she like jumped to the side of the bed and gave like just stared him down like, don't come up here. I don't know if I'm reading too much into it, but I felt like there was a sort of a jealousy thing with the humans in the household, like.
Yes, that and I guess that was my point with that. Yeah, is to be very, very careful of how they're interpreting your reaction to their interactions,
uh-huh.
right?
Yeah.
And reward her every time she doesn't become a trauma girl. Easier said than done, I know, but
All right.
Okay, well that's good. I'll try that.
Thank you for calling and for listening, Perry. Good luck.
Sure. Thank you so much.
Of course.
Bye-bye.
And we're out of time.
Thanks for the assist, Carrie. Wow, it went so fast. And now we are leaving a number of people on the phone. So I have made myself into a liar by begging. And then many people heeded the call. But we will have another Pets and Vets show as Ray returns. Thank you both so much for being here, as always.
You bet.
Support for Vox Pop comes from Curtis Lumber. providing materials from start to finish for any size building or home improvement project, daily delivery service available at curtislumber.com, and Castle Island Bilingual Montessori, a curriculum immersed in Spanish, innovative, intercultural, and inclusive. Toddler through grade 3 in downtown Albany, now enrolling for fall 2026. Tour information at castleislandmontessori.org. Thank you again for joining us today. Our engineer has been Mike Bowen. Your calls were answered by Andrea Leone, and I'm Sarah LaDuke. Tomorrow on Vox Pop, the gardeners return, and Ray does too. That's tomorrow at 2 p.m. Remember, you can support WAMC online anytime on our website, wamc.org. Coming up next on this broadcast day, 51%. Thank you for listening.